John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee.
Start with Corinthians, yes, sorry. My bad.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Then turning to John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Nazareth, of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. Just realize, 15 years ago, I did my first service at Claremont as a stipended minister. I made a really bad joke about Nazareth. I haven't made it again since. Actually, I made a joke relating Mount Morgan to Nazareth, which probably get my old period of discernment supervisor from Central Queensland. Can anything good come from Mount Morgan, Gavin? I'd like to speak today, and can I have the next slide, please, Mary? I'd like to speak today about evangelism. It's becoming a big topic in our church, isn't it? How do we spread the good news? How do we speak the good news into a culture that's so different from the culture many of us grew up in? I'm a child of the 70s, so I'm not quite got the same culture shock as some of the rest of you. But in a world where faith in God and Jesus the expectation, how do we spread the good news? Because that way doesn't seem to be working anymore, does it? So let's look at Jesus calling the disciples. Interesting, in this John passage, Jesus doesn't just pull aside and form a committee. He calls them one by one. Something in that, I think. Next slide, please. We have Jesus called Philip, who then goes to his friend Nathanael and says, here's the one you've been looking for. Here is the one Moses promised. And then we get that phrase, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a little hick town. You're not building him up very well. Why then does Nathanael follow Philip? His faith certainly isn't in this Jesus and Nazareth character yet, is it? His faith is in that his friend says, here is what you are looking for. You're willing to give your friend the benefit of the doubt, aren't you? So he goes along and he meets Jesus under the tree. And Jesus then says, Nathanael, names him. I saw you sitting under the tree. He knows everything about me. Bit of an overstatement, isn't it? But in some ways, we have to realise that God calls who God calls. But at the same stage, Nathanael is a very much like Eli in the Old Testament passage. Nathanael is not presented with a full theological explanation of who Jesus is and what he's on about. It's just, he is the one you are looking for. Come and see. And then when Nathanael comes and sees, that is when we believe the Holy Spirit worked in his life and he was open to Jesus and his message. That to me, next slide, is the core of evangelism. No longer are people coming to faith because of the quality of worship or the music or the great programs. People are coming to faith because the world still needs Jesus Christ. People still need Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what are we here for? We have to start with knowing who Jesus Christ is for each one of us. What Jesus has done in our lives and what we are grateful for. That is the start of the evangelist. We have to know the good news. Not a set list of prayers or theological arguments. The days of that rationalism have sort of passed. But knowing what Jesus has to offer here. Second one is we've got to know people who are outside the church. No use fishing in the bait bucket. If we are serious about following Jesus and building the kingdom of God, we're not fishing for the bait. We need to know people who are outside the church. Because yes, that is a big scary world out there, but people are hurting. People are needing that magic phrase, "Can I pray for you?" People are needing people who say, "I've got a story," or "I've got a passage of scripture that brings me comfort. May I share that with you?" That's evangelism, 2020 style, folks. That is pointing to Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we suffer a little bit from the Nathaniel problem. Next slide, please. And this is what I believe Paul was talking about. Now, Paul was talking about, and you've got to realize that in the Corinthians, the whole community was marked from what we read into this passage. Everyone round town knew who the Christians were because of what they did. They were scandalous. They were notorious. So Paul cracks down on them, and Paul cracks down on them hard. Don't read 1 Corinthians without reading 2 Corinthians, where he comes back to them and goes, "Oh, I was a little bit hard on you guys. We need to come back to some of that grace stuff again. I've got to build you up." But 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying that our bodies are the temples of God. Our bodies are the symbols and presence of the activity of God for the world. What we do with them matters. None more so than in evangelism. That's a bit more fancy, but I can remember one day when I was in the smelter and we had something. I was working with the wonderful people of the mobile equipment workshop, and something wouldn't move, and the guy went and said, "I'll go get the thrashing spanners. If it won't move, the thrashing spanners." These are the spanners that you're allowed to hit with a hammer. They have a special set of spanners set aside so that the other spanners can do their job too. But sometimes you just need the thrashing spanner. I didn't actually try to do a search for it online expecting to see some dinged up old thing like I saw, but someone now designed spanners which are meant to be hit with a hammer. I think ours were a bit more agricultural than that back in. Or we all know mum's sewing scissors. We all know the consequences if you do the cutting out with mum's sewing scissors. They're great for cutting out because they're so sharp and good. I even gave my sister a haircut with mum's sewing scissors. That got double trouble. We all have things that are set aside for a purpose. Some are glorious and some are not. We are called, and we are called by God, and we're told we are made holy. The holiness that Scripture speaks of is not the holiness of the pool room, of the things shoved away in a display cabinet and set aside for use. If holiness was the pool room, what's Jesus doing on the cross? But rather set apart for the purpose of conveying God's good news to the world. Because what we do Every single conversation matters. Because your neighbours know you go to church. They know what time your car leaves on a Sunday morning. They see you dressed up. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are all proclaimers of the gospel by word and deed. And I pray we may know our neighbours, that we may know the people out there in the world that need prayer. Now, what do you do if you get in a situation that's too deep for you? There are situations that are going to, when we engage with the world, there are situations that are plainly dangerous and too complex for us. What do we do then? Do we run away? Sometimes that's what we've got to do. But I ask you at least to try. Don't have as much formal elders here, but we do know well and truly who the experienced souls among us are, who the voices of wisdom and care are, and sometimes I might even get on that list. But we are called. We have the good news. We have a future. Not in our strength, but in pointing to the one who is the hope of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.